Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Luke, chapter number 23. Difficult passages to talk about, Josh, because we're talking about somebody that we love very deeply. I can't imagine talking about one of my sons or, you know, my wife going through a trial like this, and just the hatred and the misrepresentation, the unfairness. It's a difficult thing.
It sure is. When you think about what Jesus went through for you personally, especially, you know, so often we think of Jesus dying for the sins of the world, and that's true. But Jesus died for you on an individual level. And when you think about it that way, it becomes increasingly difficult to consider what he went through.
So Pilate, we left last episode, is really conflicted because he knows that Jesus is innocent. He's looking for any way to kind of please everybody. You know, eventually the whole Barabbas deal and everything he's trying doesn't work the way he plans. But currently he has learned that Herod Antipas of Galilee is at the governor's mansion in Jerusalem, which is not far, not a terribly far walk from the Antonio Fortress where they would have met here. And so Jesus is led to Herod, which is interesting because Herod had another kind of a regional ruling spot in a place called Sepphoris. Zippori is what it's called today. And it's a stone's throw from Nazareth. Mm. It's probably where Joseph and Jesus worked every day as builders. Big 25,000 people. It was the regional seat, and Herod would have spent time there, and Herod would have spent time in Tiberias. Sure. So the Bible says in verse 7, so as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So, humanly speaking, this is Jesus's out.
Yeah.
Here's his out.
Right.
He goes to Herod, and Herod is, like, overjoyed. Mm-hmm. This is great. Jesus now has his ticket out of the indictment. He has freedom, because Herod can take up for him. Just do a little miracle, and you're out.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting as I kind of visualize this verse in my mind. I just kind of see Herod sitting there, rubbing his hands together, excited because here comes Jesus. Here comes this miracle worker that he's heard so much about. Oh, he doesn't want to see him because he's the Messiah. He doesn't want to see him because, you know, he believes in him. He wants to see him because he wants to watch him do a show.
Right.
And it's interesting, Jesus' response, because you're absolutely right. All he has to do is turn some water into wine, or, you know, make something appear out of nothing. And he's off the hook.
He's done. You know, before we get into his response, let's just consider a moment. Who is this Herod? This is the same Herod 3 years ago that killed John the Baptist.
Right.
And remember, he did that not because he wanted
right,
to. He was
exactly.
very sorry to
yep.
do it.
Yep.
He actually liked John.
Yeah.
He enjoyed conversing with him. But because John had called him out on some things, mm-hmm. and Herod kind of knew John was right.
Yeah.
But Herod's wife was scorned.
Yeah.
And there's no fury like a woman scorned.
Right.
And that whole, you'll give me John the Baptist's head on a charger.
Yeah.
Nice lady, right?
Right.
And John, in order to please his wife mm-hmm. and his, you know, stepdaughter, just made it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had killed the forerunner and killed the cousin of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah. an easily persuaded man. You know, a man who, like you said, his wife asked him for it, so he did it. And so, not just easily persuaded, but brutal. I mean, you know, what does it take for a man to come to the place where he says, you know, here's an innocent man, a man that I enjoy conversing with, a man that I enjoy his friendship, but let's go ahead and kill him.
What's really interesting about Herod is that Luke also wrote the book of Acts. I think most of you know that. And in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, the Bible says there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it lists them, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Mm. So here is this pastor in Antioch, one of the greatest missions-sending churches of all time, who was a boyhood acquaintance of, a schoolmate of Herod the Tetrarch. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So God had put some people in Herod's life that, like Chuza, the steward, the CFO, and mm-hmm. and Manaen, and John the Baptist, and you know, God had strategically placed people around Herod throughout his lifetime. Herod could have repented, and Herod could have received, but again, just a people pleasing politician never
yeah.
did.
Yeah, what a great lesson for us today. You know, as God places people around us in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, right? We learn that in the book of Proverbs. So as God places people around us to guide us and to show us the way that we ought to live, do we listen or do we do our own thing and do things the way that we think they should be done?
So you referenced before the response.
Mm.
Of Jesus. So how did Jesus respond?
Yeah, so there in the very next verse, Jesus, when he's questioned, he answered him nothing. And so it's kind of like he just stands there.
Sometimes the best answer is no nothing. Answer.
Yeah, that's right. And Jesus knew that. And this is the answer that he'd given. Now, I understand that he said things to the other two when Pilate questioned him, when he was questioned by the religious leaders, but it's the same thing. Are you the Son of God? You said it. You said that I am. And now here Herod is asking him some of the very same kinds of questions, and he says nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to ennoble this conversation yeah. by answering.
Right.
And that infuriated mm-hmm. Herod.
Yeah.
Which just shows you just how unstable this man is, that at once, oh, I'm so glad to see him, do your song and dance for me, and we'll all be happy. He doesn't get his way. He's a lot like his dad.
Yeah.
You know, remember, this man's dad tried to kill Jesus.
Right, right.
This man's dad killed people in Bethlehem yep. to try to wipe out the baby Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he killed a lot of people. Just to find one, to right. find one. So certainly his line had this habit of killing people and of violence and of murder. And you pointed it out, but the response or the change in attitude is so quick. Well, I'm excited to see Jesus. Bring him before me. Let him do a miracle. Jesus, and he asks him all these questions. The Bible doesn't tell us what he asks him, at least not here in Luke, but it does tell us that he asked him with a lot of words, and Jesus responds with nothing, and then he gets very, very angry, as we see in the following verses.
So the chief priests and scribes obviously had followed, because they're kind of like the prosecuting attorneys.
Of course.
And it says in verse 10, and the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. So Jesus isn't saying anything, and they're just railing accusation after accusation. And Herod, with his men of war, so these are hardened guards, mm-hmm. The Bible says, set him at naught and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. So you think about the beatings of Jesus on that night. He was beaten at Caiaphas's judgment hall. He was beaten at Herod's palace. And then he was beaten, cat of nine tails, all that, back at the formal place of judgment with Pilate.
Yeah.
Three separate times he became a human punching bag that night.
Yeah.
So sad.
It is. It's sad.
Verse 12. And the same day, Pilate and Herod, this is just so ironic to me. And the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Isn't it interesting that a common enemy can be the basis for a political friendship?
Yeah, yeah. They can unite now around this this politically motivated murder, basically, is what it is. You know, one of the things that I want to go back and just point out that kind of jumped out at me, but as you were describing the torture that Jesus went through, I didn't even have the words to really say, but one of the things that we see through all of this is just the patience that Jesus exhibits. I mean, I just can't imagine as he's standing there and Herod has asked him all these questions, whatever they are, and he says nothing. But then because of that, he's vehemently accused by these religious leaders and they make all these false accusations against him, but he says nothing. And then even after that, he's mocked and he's spit upon and yet he says nothing. Like, that's beyond our comprehension.
I want to say something when I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Just to kind of justify my wrong.
Yes.
How much more do I want to say something when I'm right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's in all of us.
Right.
Wait, no. I want to defend myself. I mean, I'm telling you, you are wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yet he answered not a word. Mm. You know, like a lamb being led to the slaughter,
yeah.
dumb before the shearers,
yeah.
you know,
yep.
that's the prophecy, right? The Isaiah 53 prophecy.
Yeah.
It's unfolding
yep.
right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So Herod and Pilate became friends much in the same way as earlier in Jesus' ministry when he had healed a man on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees that were such strict Sabbath day observers were so mad. They
yeah.
wanted to kill him. The Bible says that they actually got together with the Herodians.
Mm-hmm.
The Herodians were a sect of people that were supportive of Roman domination.
Yeah.
The Pharisees hated the Herodians, but their hatred, their mutual hatred of Jesus was such that it caused them to unite.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, evil has strange bedfellows,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It sure does. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in it. If we're not guarding our hearts, you know, that oftentimes those kinds of evils can come as sheep in wolves' clothing because you get two groups together that have a message or, you know, that want to deliver an accusation against God's word or against God himself. And there's a growing voices that are growing together can often trick us into believing something that is absolutely not true.
Yes. Tenuous and short-lived is the bond that is forged by mutual hatred. It's only the bond that we have in Christ. It's only the bond that we have around the truth of God's word that can produce true unity. And so, my friends, let me just say this. That friend of yours that you get together with and gossip about people, that coworker of yours that you sit together with and just kind of trash talk the boss, that's not friendship.
Mm.
That's just mutual approval of your carnality. Really, let's be people that center our friendships, our relationships, our agenda around the truth. Around serving and loving people and serving and loving God. I hope that helps you today, my friends. I know it helped me. Looking forward to getting together again next episode. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.